Jazz musicians Branford Marsalis and Harry Connick Jr. Two very busy men had some time to talk with us today, which is nice. Marsalis is now running his own record label, Marsalis Music, and prepping for some overseas performances. Harry Connick Jr. has a second career as an actor, currently producing an animated Christmas special. So the two New Orleans-born musicians found a free weekend between them, and they kind of started hanging out in the studio and ended up putting together an album called Occasions. The duo just wrapped up a handful of shows together. We are very lucky to have them here in our studio. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
It's a nice CD.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, that's what we imagine jazz musicians do. We assume that all jazz albums come together by guys hanging out, you know, at the Waffle House or whatever. And
Waffle House.
Hanging out.
I've never really heard that angle before.
Talking together.
That sounds good.
About stuff and then saying, hey, let's find a studio. Jam
and then
pull
like
out the best 60 minutes of that, and you got a CD.
Yeah, that's a nice way to look at it, and it's nice when it does work out like that. That's kind of how this one happened, you know. We just talked about playing together, and we went in the studio and played, you know.
I was really surprised to see that you guys haven't played together, because really, you practically grew up together, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, Harry was taking lessons from my dad.
Yeah.
And were you, like, 12 years old?
Yeah.
13, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little older than him. I'm, like, 5 or 6 years older than he is. So I've known Harry a long time. And I've played on a couple of his records. He's played on one of my records, you know, isolated little things when they were required. But this was cool. I was very honored to be able to participate.
Had you guys been talking about doing this for a long time? And just...
Yeah.
We talked about playing together, but I mean, the specifics of it we never really talked about. But this one just kind of fell into place. You know, the fact that I record as an artist on Branford's label, and I was going to do a record. It was going to be kind of a solo record. And then I asked Branford if he wanted to play. He said, yeah, I'll play on it. And then it just turned into a whole duo record.
When you get together, my question is whether you have something composed, something written out, and then you begin to improvise, or if you just sit down, start to noodle, and then decide to put it on sheet music, you know, write it down later.
The music was all composed. It was all...
Yeah, the improvisation came as a result of what we had prepared before we went in.
On the liner notes, Harry, I think it's you who write, look, it's about let go of the wall, push yourself away. This kind of music, jazz music, is a play of spirited and a spiritual game of tag. There's a cut on the CD that I think that to me sounds just like that. Brown World. Let's listen to some of that. Brown World from Harry Connick Jr.'s new CD, Occasion, and is that it? We have a, there's a, less, not so much a conversation, but a kind of a tit for tat, this sort of a game
of
tag.
More of a conversation.
Yeah,
and also, where we grew up in New Orleans, that's a traditional way to improvise, with two guys kind of improvising together in traditional New Orleans music, you know, like a trumpet player and a saxophone player, a clarinet player, or whatever. They'll all play solos at the same time. That's just sort of commonplace for us, as opposed to, you know, each soloist going out and kind of being on a pedestal, which is fine sometimes, but I never hear anybody do that. I never hear anybody solo at the same time. It just feels natural to us to do it.
Solo at the same time, but you're holding it together somehow.
Well, we know what the form is. It's like debate, but not really. It's like debate in the fact that you're supposed to talk about a specific subject.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of using it as a form to highlight why you're right and the other person's wrong, we're essentially agreeing. We're just agreeing in different ways. We're basically talking about the same thing. And if you listen to that song in particular, Harry will play things that will influence the way I play them, and vice versa.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. How much do you sort of change the debate? How much do you get won over in the course of playing together?
Just like any conversation you're having.
Yeah.
Where conversations digress all the time.
How important is it that you knew each other? I mean, is that an asset or is that a liability? Is that getting in the way of maybe performing?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, I like to think, you know, I was the clever one. Sometimes Bramford is the clever one. It's like, it's great. You know, there's so much variety in the music, and the fact that we have a similar history, that's all. We don't have to talk about that. Like, I don't have to ask him, what was it like growing up in New Orleans, or what's it like, you know, whatever. I already know him. He already knows me. And the rest is just sort of fun.
Was that kind of information important for you as a performer and as an artist when you're playing with anybody else?
Well, you just feel like there's a history there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I almost feel like I never know what you're going to play, but it's
you can anticipate it
based on
knowing the person. And I think that you also have to, I think talent plays a large role in that too, because Harry's an immensely talented musician and a songwriter. And there are a lot of people I know from New Orleans who I'm close with. I don't want to be on stage playing with them, you know.
Well, there are a lot of talented musicians who came through your dad's schooling, and it seems to me they've all got good jobs, a lot of them.
Yeah, that was a very interesting time.
Yeah, it's no accident. I mean, the work ethic that he instills in you, I mean, it really is before anything. I mean, so many people come up and say, I want to be famous, or, you know, what do I do to get into this business? And I wouldn't know the first thing to tell him. I just say, listen, you know, all I know is you got to spend a lot of hours in the practice room. You know, it's very hard to squeeze a compliment out of Ellis or Brantford or me or anybody else who comes from that school, because it's hard. And that's not to toot our own horns, but we just know it's a lot of work has to be done, you know. And we're still working at it and still trying to get it. But it's nice to know that if Bramford decides to go somewhere that's based on his history, I can go there, because I know that history too. If we start playing New Orleans style or Mardi Gras style or funk or whatever it is, we both know that. So That's a nice place.
You've said, Harry, that you're never going to do a pop album. You're just never going to do one.
I hope every album I do is a pop album. I want it to be popular.
Well, that's what I wondered, because when you said that, I thought, well, no, that's not true. You want it to be popular.
Well,
you
sure.
Want people to hear it.
There's a big part of me that it's always a fence I've kind of straddled, because the traditional jazz musician is supposed to buck any kind of aspirations for popularity. And then the other side of me is the class clown, the guy who loves to be adored and praised. I mean, how can those two things coexist? Pop means popular, and if my records sell 10 million records, it's fantastic. If they don't, I've done the best music I can, so I'm happy in that way. So,
but in terms of sitting around and trying to figure out what an audience wants,
oh God, no,
and calling the right producer, and getting the cheesiest string arrangement possible,
yeah,
and the fake drum sounds, and worrying about the visual imagery first, and basically having someone do your entire record for you while you sit on a beach somewhere, and then coming in and singing in a very disinterested way and letting all the responsibility lie on another person, you're never going to do a pop record.
Yeah, in that sense.
That does sound like a formula for success, doesn't it?
Or disaster, depending on how lucky you
musically,
are.
Musically, it is. Well, but you now have your own, Bramford, you've got your own label now, and so I presume you want to, you know, you want to be successful and sell music, and it sounds like you don't want to make a compromise in terms of the art. How do you do that? What's the condition of jazz these days as a business?
It's pretty good. For me, it's kind of like there are people all over the world who specialize in certain things, like people who work in real marble, for instance, something that used to be popular and is now gone. There are some people who want the idea of having marble in their home, so they'll go to Home Depot and buy marble face. But then there are those small group of people who want marble in their homes, and they're willing to pay top dollar to get somebody who knows what they're doing. And all those little niche things, like specialty door handles and all these things that nobody thinks about. Mm. Not everybody in the world is comfortable with just going to Home Depot and buying the generic thing. And for people who are comfortable with that, I don't have anything for them.
How do you handle the problem? I saw in one interview you did, you talked about it, the problem of the talent attack. I think it was a producer or an engineer who said, you know, you can become so esoteric, so involved in, you know, impressing each other's musicians that you may lose sight of the audience. I mean, how do you guard against that, or do you?
Me personally, what I do is I walk into each environment and I just focus on what the song is. And the song, in a weird kind of way, kind of talks to me and tells me what it is that it needs in order to become successful. And sometimes it needs that over-the-top talent thing, and sometimes it needs to be understated. And it makes a huge difference, I think.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stachow, sitting in for Neil Conan. We're talking with Harry Connick Jr., whose new CD is just out, Occasion, and collaborating with him is Branford Marsalis. And it's the first time you two, and it surprised me, have really collaborated on a long-term project. This, for you, Harry, is part two mm-hmm. This is second part of a CD. Did you conceive this as a kind of a whole concept?
Yeah, I wanted to do, Branford has this label, Marsalis Music, and my other label, Sony Music, was kind enough to let me do all of my jazz playing and instrumental music on Branford's label. And so it's a series called Connick on Piano, and it's all instrumental, and it's important that it's represented like that, because when I tour for this music, I'm not singing at all. I'm not, you know, doing what I normally do on a other kind of show. And this is the second and hopefully what will be a long series of music that showcases my piano playing and composition, you know.
A lot of variety in this. I want to go to another cut from the CD. CD is called Occasion, and this is called Spot. That is Spot from a new album out by Harry Connick Jr. called Occasion, with Branford Marsalis on almost every cut. You two are laughing and giggling at different parts of this thing. Is there an inside joke in this song?
Very,
very. And
you
shall
can
not
tell divulge. You want to tell another story that would be good? And
well, this song was written for, we went to a restaurant up the street from the studio, and they sold this on the menu. They had Spot, you know, and I said, what?
As a fish, right?
Yeah, it is. And I assumed it was something, but I like a fish, but I didn't. I said, what is it? It said it's a perch, you know. I said, oh, okay, because we call it something different in New Orleans, but it was good, so we wrote a song about it.
Yeah, it's not a very good story.
No, not nearly as good as the other one.
No, it is. We spent 2 hours in it. You mean it's not funny, but yeah. No, we didn't get arrested or anything. But no, right. We spent 2 hours in this restaurant.
We would get arrested for the other story.
Yeah, right, but we can't tell that story.
That's a different radio station.
That's a different radio station.
Yeah, the goat was really bad. But, you know,
the goat was drunk.
So. I know, that's right. Yeah. It didn't know any better. It didn't know what it was doing.
It could be excused.
But it looked 18.
How can...
in goat years.
This, by the way, is my fault. We were all set to just move on.
Oh, goodness.
Why is this Harry Connick Jr.? Why do you not have, I mean, why isn't both your names on the CD?
It's my record, and Branford is, he does play on every song, but it's kind of like if I had a quartet, that it would still be, it's like Branford's quartet record, says Branford's Marsalis on the front, and then his musicians are featured on the record. So it's my CD, and Branford is the featured guest.
Any more projects in the works together?
Not specifically. I think we have a vague desire to do, a specific desire, but vague plans to do this again. We played only three cities, and we just started sort of, as we say, opening the door to some inside music, and we started figuring each other out and really having fun, and I want to do some more dates. I think Branford does too. It's so much fun. Mm.
The CD itself is out, as you say, on Branford's label, and I wonder how many more of these compositions came together as joint compositions. Did you compose them together?
No.
They're not joint compositions.
No. So? Branford wrote some, and I wrote some.
I wrote two, he wrote 11.
But some of them I had written before for another project, a Broadway show I wrote called Thou Shalt Not, so I think three or four were from that, and then three or four were written specifically for this. And then Branford had a couple. And then when I got to the studio, I wrote a couple of, what was that goat's name anyway? It was Herman, I think. Or something.
I think it was,
did you write a love song for the goat?
We will.
Goat years.
Goat world.
Oh, man. Goat
world. Look for that coming out by Christmas, we hope.
Oh,
Harry
Connick
Jr., Occasion is the name of the CD. Branford Marsalis, thank you both very much for being
Thanks,
with
Frank.
Us.
Thanks, Frank. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, man.
I'm Frank Stacio, NPR News in Washington.